B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
All right, let's talk some more football issues. The man who joins us every Tuesday is the preeminent NFL reporter for ESPN. He is Sal Palantonio. Hello, Sal Pal.
Hello, Michael. How are you?
Good.
Good, good, good. It's a wild week because you got this quick turnaround and, you know, you got this division game with the Giants and you got a lot of players hurt. So where do you want me to start?
Well, let's start with what the outlook is for this game, because they're going to miss two more. Actually, they're only reliable, I would think, offensive weapons in Ertz and Sanders. So what do you expect that they'll be able to do on Thursday?
Well, I think the first thing that they have to do is do a better job of protecting Carson Wentz. And if they don't do that, and there's a number of ways that obviously you can do that beyond just max protect. You can design plays to get the ball out more quickly. You can design plays with misdirection involved. You can design more plays for Jalen Hurts so that he is more of a decoy and more of a help to Carson Wentz. I am not advocating taking Carson Wentz off the field and putting Jalen Hurts on the field, especially in a quick turnaround game like that. That would be a disaster. But I think you drafted Hurts. You obviously have a set of plays for him. I will utilize him a lot more to basically give the defense a different look, because from the get-go, the Ravens just decided they were going to blow through the right side of the Eagles' offensive line, attack it, whether they were running or passing. You go back and you watch the tape, the right guard was, Mike, he was just ineffective, shouldn't have been on the field. And then after Driscoll got hurt, they put that young man, Brett Toth, in there, and he got sacked on in the first play. They didn't design a protection for him. Carson didn't slide anything over to help him. The play that they called was, you know, misguided, considering that you had a brand-new guy out of West Point, a part-time ROTC instructor from Arizona State. I mean, he's a lot of things. Good-looking young man, but he ain't a right tackle in the National Football League.
Okay, so you can't go back. You can't go back to Jermon Brown, then, right? So you can't. Well, so what are they going to do at those two positions on the right?
I'm actually anxious to see what happens. I really am, because it's a short week. You know, we're getting obviously very little look at the team, and the injury reports are not very encouraging. So they're going to have to design very quick stuff so that Carson is not just brutalized like he was in the last game. You know, I love ESPN stats and information. I live by them. They're great people. They do great work. They're always accurate. They said Carson was hit 16 times in a game.
Mm-hmm.
No way. Had to be 30 times in a game, right?
Yeah, he got baked.
I mean, Mikey, so I just hope that they have stuff in their book, and it's a voluminous book. I know what it looks like. It's big. Just start trotting out some of those plays so that they get the ball out quickly.
Well, this is interesting.
Roll them out.
Yeah, I agree.
A lot of stuff. Move the launch point. Do the stuff that Stefanski did for Kirk Cousins and he's now doing for Baker Mayfield. When you have an offensive line that is basically the guys you would start in the fourth preseason game, Mike, you got to help number 11.
Well, I agree 100%. Now, here's the other side of the coin. They're going to have to do that by trial and error, because they're basically going through, like, what a walkthrough and a half to prepare for this game on Thursday? They don't have a lot of time to smooth those things out.
Nope, they don't have much time. It's going to be a very, very interesting game. I mean, the NFC East is right now just, you know, underwater. A winning percentage of 229. 229. Lowest ever after 6 weeks in one division in the NFC East. Do you know the NFL right now, for the first time going into week seven, has 10 teams, 10, Mike, with either one win or zero wins for the first time going into week seven. That's almost a third of the league. And all of it is concentrated, most of it is concentrated on the East Coast. That's why if the game doesn't have Tom Brady in it or Aaron Rodgers in it, you're having a problem getting people to watch the big population centers. The NFC East, Washington, New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia are not watching these games because the teams are so bad. I mean, listen, I made a 25-year living at ESPN, not because I'm good-looking or I'm smart, but because I cover the NFC East. It's always been, you know, gangbusters. But what happened with Dallas last night, it's pretty dreadful.
Yeah, it really is.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Let me read something that I read in Tim McMaz's story today, and I want to get your reaction to it. He said, what the Eagles are and what they've been for the past few seasons is a title team past its prime, one that scratches and claws and shows enough resilience to convince itself it is still a contender.
That's a brilliant line by Timmy Mac. And I would just like to point out one thing off of that. How has that manifested itself? Or what have we seen that is clearly making that a true statement? And that is, all you got to do is compare what happened in Dallas last night. And here's Mike McCarthy. Now, if you didn't need any more evidence that the team is not listening or not responding to a coach or not fighting for a coach, all you have to do is look at that game last night, right? And clearly the Philadelphia Eagles, Mike, are still fighting for their coach and one another. And of all the punishment that Carson Wentz took on Sunday, he was still in the fight and he had everybody on the team in the fight down to the end. Now that was a bad play call. Doug Peterson has admitted it on the 2-point conversion. You don't want a zone read run play when, you know, you don't have enough guys to block it. One, two, it comes in late. Three, Jordan Mailata, you know, just misses a block. And the Ravens have been run blitzing and pass blitzing on every single down. It was a bad idea. You needed to have Carson Wentz to have the option to throw the football, not run with it. And Doug understands how bad of a call that was.
And, see, that's alarming to me, Sal. You see, like, yes. You know, think a coach has to think on his feet that way. I mean, we went through these parameters on what was wrong with calling a play like that. The coach has to know that, no?
Yes.
No,
1,000%. No question. Has to know.
All right. Yep.
Maybe he just, you know, didn't have it on the sheet, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, it's going to be a really, really fascinating game on Thursday. When you have two teams like this, backs against the wall, in a division that still is winnable. I mean, when you win the division and make the playoffs, you make money. You know, the players want to make money. And, you know, it's still going to be exciting if they have a home playoff game if they win the division somehow, some way. I mean, I'm looking at the schedule, Mike, and I'm trying to figure out how they even get to 6 wins, really.
I think the same thing. Right? So if they lose this game, you could pretty much blow taps at this point. Yeah.
Tuesdays with Sal will be something else. you can fill it with elevator music.
All right. Then listen, one last question for you, because we're getting asked this a lot. And I don't think he's in trouble, but I don't know how the owner perceives Howie Roseman in the front office and the job that they have done here. And I know they're all injured, But, you know, they also have not done a great job in supplying this team players.
Hold on a second. You think that Jeffrey Lurie is going to fire Howie Roseman in the middle of a pandemic?
No. I'm talking about after the season, when things all shake out, is he in trouble?
Talk to me about that after the season.
Okay.
First of all, there's no way he's ever going to do it, and there's no way he ever should do it. You're not going to put a man out on the street and win you a Super Bowl, first of all, in the middle of a pandemic. That's silly. It's dumb. Has he made some big mistakes? Yes. Big mistakes. Absolutely. I'll be the first person to say that. But we're not firing Howie Roseman in this town. That's not how we do business. Forget that.
Yeah, well, I don't think they're going to do it either. But I'm wondering if a two-win season alters their thinking in the offseason.
It would alter my thing.
Well, there you go.
Yeah,
all right. Listen, thanks, brother. We'll talk to you.
All right, I'll talk to you.
Sal Powell on the Comcast Business Hotline. Beyond fast. No, I'm not talking in the middle of a pandemic. I'm talking about a two-win season where the owner goes, well, come on.
Everything else was business as usual in the pandemic, wasn't it?
Yeah.
For the NFL?
Yeah. So, I mean, and I don't think, again, I'm on the record saying he's going to have another bad year for the owner to even think about it. But people ask the question all the time.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.